the 8th chapter of Luke this evening. We continue our study through the Gospels. For some time we've been studying about the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ and what most people commonly refer to as Greater Galilean Ministry, as he kind of set up headquarters at Capernaum and went around the regions round about Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and in the towns and healing all manner of sickness. And as you go through the study of the Gospels, the Bible gives us these specific instances, like we studied last week when Jesus is invited to dinner at Simon the Pharisee's house. And you remember a sinful woman came in and she wept. She fell down at the feet of Jesus, and with her tears she washed his feet and wiped his feet with the hairs of her head. She anointed his feet with ointment. And it goes through like that many times. And we see all of these specific instances, and then he'll go back and kind of just give a summary. And obviously everything that Jesus did, we don't know. And every place that he went and every person he healed and every event of his life, John tells us at the end of his account of the life of Christ that there aren't enough books to contain everything that Jesus did in his life and ministry. And so every once in a while we come to these kind of summary statements, and that's what we have here in Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. And this is kind of coming back around, and Jesus is about to go out again in what we would call a circuit of Galilee, as he's going to go around and do the work of the Lord and do the work that his Father called him to in his third Galilean circuit. And so here we are, Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. If you're able, let's stand to honor the Word of God tonight. And we need to learn tonight, our goal tonight is to learn that we are with Jesus to serve him. With Jesus to serve him. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuzza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your great love and mercy towards us. We pray tonight you'd open our hearts to your word. You convict us, Lord. Help us to realize that we have a great privilege in walking with Jesus day by day. Help us to realize that we have a great opportunity to serve you and to live for you, to be your ministers, to be your servants, Lord, and help us to give of our time, our talents, our treasures, our lives to you, Lord. Please help us to be faithful, and Lord, may you help us to bear much fruit for your honor and glory. And please help tonight, for I'm nothing without you. I pray your will would be done in every life, and I pray, Father, that if there is someone in this service tonight who has never been saved, Lord, they've never repented of their sin and put their faith and trust in Christ alone. They've never cried out to you for salvation. I pray tonight would be the night they would believe with all their heart on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And for all who are saved, Lord, I pray you'd help us to serve you, to minister you, to walk with you day by day. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So we see in our passage tonight that there were certain women, and there were the 12, and certain women, and many others who were with Jesus. The Bible says they were with him, and they ministered unto him of their substance. And so we see that there were people with Jesus, and they were with Jesus to serve Jesus Christ. And friends, we have a great opportunity in our lives to be with Jesus. You say, well, Jesus is up in heaven, how can I be with him? Well, we're to walk with Jesus by faith day by day. And when we get in this word and we obey this word, we're walking with Jesus. We walk by faith. We walk by the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. We walk in the Spirit, and we do the things that God has called us to do so that we can serve him faithfully. And what a privilege to be called to walk with Jesus. And what an opportunity to be able to work and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the reality is, friends, if you are a born-again Christian, if you have been saved by the grace of God through our faith, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter if you're a stay-at-home mom. It doesn't matter if you're retired. It doesn't matter if you're a school teacher. It doesn't matter if you're a mechanic or a secretary or whatever it is, a student. What we are is not our occupation. What we really are is servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in every capacity in our lives, we use that to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a blessing it is. So let's very quickly run through this tonight. Number one, you'll notice the period, the time period. It came to pass afterward. Well, this is after the event we just learned about last week, where Jesus had the woman come in and wash his feet with her tears. And after that, is when this began. And like I mentioned a moment ago, Jesus has already been through his first Galilean circuit, and we saw kind of a summary there in Matthew 4:23. The Bible says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And so that began his first Galilean circuit. And then we saw later his second in Luke chapter 4 and verse 43. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. And now he begins his third. And the Bible says that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ's purpose, yes, he healed the sick. Yes, he caused the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the mute to speak, and even the dead to come to life again. But his purpose was not a physical purpose. His purpose was always a spiritual purpose. His focus in healing those people was that they might believe to the saving of their souls. Jesus Christ healed them so they would see his power was really truly from God, and they would believe his gospel. His goal wasn't just to make blind people see physically. His goal was to make spiritually blind people see spiritually and receive the gift of eternal life. Amen. And a lot of people today, we think we're kind of missing out on something because we can't go around and heal people like the apostles did. Friend, we have the gospel today just like they had then. And we have even a more sure word of prophecy because we have the completed Word of God, and we can take people the Word of God and open it up and say, thus saith the Lord, and preach to them the truth. And the gospel that we preach today is just as powerful as the gospel that Jesus preached in that day. Amen. We have tremendous opportunity. And so this was the time period as he begins. Notice the place. He went throughout every city and village. Well, what every city and village in the whole world? No, around about Galilee. And listen, you think about it, the whole known world in Jesus' day that stretched from country to continent and so much area and so many people, but Jesus came to one tiny little country called Israel, and he went to one tiny little region called Galilee, and he really didn't get outside of that very much. I mean, he very rarely, when he was little bitty, he went up to Egypt for just a little while. But I'm telling you that Jesus focused his ministry in one small space, one place. And you'll notice that he was over here in Capernaum and Galilee in that area. And he spent some time at Jerusalem, but he didn't focus his ministry there. Jesus didn't go trying to reach all the top honchos and all the really important people. Jesus went to villages and towns all around, and he went to ordinary people to give them an extraordinary message. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll think that what we're trying to do here in Muldrow, Oklahoma, is not that important. But I'm here to tell you that it's very important, because God has placed you here, and this is our place, and this is our time to go and preach the gospel to the people in our little town. And to go around to our little villages, like Short and Long, and every place in between. Amen? I haven't even learned all the little places around. I can't even pronounce some of the names, and I've been in Oklahoma my whole life. But I'm just here to tell you that we've got villages and towns, we've got small communities and towns all around us, and this is our place, and we ought to take the gospel to the ordinary people in our place. That's what Jesus did. He took the message to every village and town. And listen, we ought to go where God leads us. And we ought to serve wherever God sends us. But listen, at the end of the day, friends, we just need to work the fields that God has given us to work. And I'm afraid sometimes when it comes to sharing the gospel, we get a little disenchanted, and sometimes we hear about what's happening someplace else, and we might think, man, it'd be nice to go over there. I hear reports from missionaries in the Philippines, and they go out, and people are just thronging the missionaries, coming to hear the message. And I hear about missionaries in Africa, and they go, and they set up to preach, and when the villagers hear that somebody's coming to preach, they come out by the hundreds, and thousands come to hear a man preach the gospel, and you think, man, that sure would be nice. But listen, friend, we're not in Africa today, and we're not in the Philippines today. We're in Mulder, Oklahoma today. This is our place, and we ought to work the work that God set before us. Now, we ought to help the missionaries that are there. We ought to pray for them. We ought to support them, and that's good, and we can be a part of that. But friend, our job is to preach the gospel where we are. So we see the period, the time, we see the place. He went to every city and village, and people in Gans and Muldrow and Roland and down in the river bottoms and up on the mountain and everywhere in between, they need to hear the gospel. Down at the schoolhouse and over at the grocery store, people at Piggly Wiggly need Jesus. And if you're a trader and go to Marvin's and Roland, those people in Roland need the gospel too. Amen. And if you're really desperate and you have to go to Walmart and Salisaw, those people definitely need Jesus. Amen? Now, most of you haven't obviously been to the Walmart and Salisaw. There have been more amens there. I'm just telling you that there are people all around us that need to hear the gospel. This is our place. And you might say, well, I've already talked to all these people, or all these people go to church and all this different stuff. Listen to me very carefully. I don't care where anybody goes to church in this town. They need to hear the gospel. Amen. Their family might have been in that church for 50 years. It doesn't matter. They still need to hear the gospel, because just because they're in a church doesn't mean that they're saved. Amen. His purpose, the period, the place, the purpose, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Jesus and preaching and teaching was always about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Mark and Luke and John say the kingdom of God. Matthew says the kingdom of heaven. I don't believe there is any difference at all. I think that Matthew had his reasons for saying heaven instead of God, but it's the kingdom of God. It's the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. And what it really starts with is salvation. That's the message that he preached. Listen to me, and if you're taking notes, you can write these references down real quick. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And the gospel is the way to get into the kingdom of God, to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, to believe that God would send his son to die for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and 3 days later he rose again. The life, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the way into the kingdom of God. And except you be born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Unless you're born again, you can't see it. And unless you're born again, you cannot enter into it. Matthew 13, verses 44 through 46, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man had found, he hideth it, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And Jesus preached that you need to repent and believe the gospel, because the kingdom of heaven is here. And then he preached, listen, let me tell you what the kingdom of God is like. It's better than anything that you've ever found. These people were trusting in their good works. They were trusting in their religion. They were trusting in their ancestry, their genealogies, and all kinds of nonsense. And he said, listen, you need to forget about all of that, because when you find the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you find his kingdom, it's better than anything else. And when you found Jesus Christ, you can let go of all that and just get a hold of him. Amen. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And even in the very end, Jesus said in Luke 21:31, "So likewise ye, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand." And throughout his ministry, from the very beginning and all the way through and in the very end, the preaching and teaching of Jesus Christ is about the kingdom of God. Well, what is it? It's a spiritual kingdom. It's a kingdom that's in you. He said, the kingdom of God is in you. Well, how does that happen? Because you're born again and the Holy Spirit of God comes and lives inside of you. That's how it's in you. And the kingdom of God is something future when his rule and reign will be here on the earth. That's the kingdom of God. And it's the new heaven and the new earth when he burns up all the old heaven and the old earth and he makes a new one that lasts forever and ever. That's the kingdom of God. It's the rule and reign of God. It's his kingdom, a spiritual kingdom. And the only way you can get in is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what he preached in the very beginning. And that was his purpose. Yes, he healed the sick. Yes, he even raised the dead to life again. But all the while, the purpose was for people to enter into the kingdom of God. And let me just tell you, as a side note, I don't know that the disciples, I don't know the church ever got it. And I don't know that we ever get it. You remember those times they're always thinking about the food. They went into town to buy meat. Jesus sat down with the woman at the well. And he comes back and they want to know if somebody already gave him food. He says, "I have meat that you know not of." He wasn't talking about bread. He wasn't talking about physical food. He was talking about spiritual food. He was talking about a purpose that was spiritual, and all the time they're worried about the physical. And friends, we're no different. All the time we're worried about work, and we're worried about bills. And to be honest, we're worried about things and hobbies more than we are the kingdom of God. And I'm here to tell you tonight, we need to get our eyes off the things of this world and set our affections on things above. The purpose of Jesus Christ was to preach and to show the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And I tell you, this convicts me a little bit because I spend so much time trying to get people lost so that I can help them get saved. I often never get to the glad tidings. Now, do you know what I mean when I say you got to get somebody lost before you can get them saved? I mean that some people have no idea that they're under the condemnation of God. Some people, it seems, they have no idea that they justly deserve God's wrath. Some people have no idea that they're sinners. They don't know that there is a penalty for our sin. They don't know that the wages of sin is death. And I talk to so many people that you try to help them understand we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you spend so much time trying to get them lost that you never get to the good news. But listen, the gospel is good news. And Jesus went preaching and showing glad tidings. You don't have to live in your sin. You can be free from sin. You don't have to be under the condemnation of your sin. You can have forgiveness of sin. You don't have to face eternal death in hell. You can have eternal life with God in heaven. It's good news, people. It's glad tidings. Amen. We ought to have joy in our hearts when we go and tell people. There ought to be joy. Listen, when you reach in your pocket and you pull out one of these tracts and hand it to somebody, there ought to be joy in your heart that you can share the gospel with somebody. Sometimes we talk to people about the things of God. We try to talk to them about the kingdom of God, and we're almost apologetic. Like we're sorry to bother them with it. Come on, that's ridiculous. We're trying to give them the best news the world will ever know. It's good tidings of great joy. So we see the period, the place, the purpose. Notice the people. The people. Came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. What 12? What was the 12 he named? We study back in Matthew chapter 10, verses 2 through 4. Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. The 12. The original apostles, those who were called and appointed by God to do great things. And listen, you don't find in that list any Pharisees or scribes or religious leaders. You don't find any princes or kings. These are ordinary men. These are fishermen. These are hated people like Matthew or Levi, the tax collector, the publican. These are people who nobody in the world would look up to, and God would take these men and he would call them, and Jesus called them to follow him, and they left all and followed him. And notice that as he continues his ministry, the Bible just simply says they were with him. And you know what happened because they spent time with him, because they were with him? They turned the world upside down. And later, when people looked at them and looked at their and listened to their preaching, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And later, when they looked at them and listened to them, they looked at them and said, these are ignorant and unlearned men. And you know what happened? Because God took people like that, and because they followed Jesus and they were with Jesus, when people looked at what God did through them, those men didn't get the glory. God did. I don't know about you people, but that gives me hope for our church. I don't mean to offend you, but I'm just going to go ahead and guess that if major news outlets came to our church, they might have a hard time finding anybody here of any interest to the world. If CNN comes knocking on the door, I'm not sure which one of us they would pick to put on the broadcast tonight. There's not anybody here that's making headlines, and nobody here that the world would think was very special. But I want to tell you something. If you'll walk with Jesus, you are special, and God can do great things with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Listen to these verses. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. It's not about us. It's not about who we are in this world. It's about what God can do with ordinary people. It's about the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. And listen, friend, if you'll hear the preaching of the cross and you'll believe it, God will change your life. And if you'll live it and preach that gospel to others, God will do great things through your life. But the thing that made the difference in their lives is that they were with him. They were with him. They walked with him, and they talked with him, and they learned at his feet, and they lived their lives day by day with Jesus. And I got news for you, people. We can do the same thing today. We can be with Jesus day by day. Amen. We get with Jesus in his word, and we walk with him in prayer. Moment by moment, day by day, you can live every moment of your day walking with Jesus. Amen. Did you know that? Yeah. You can be with him. The 12 were with him. And I want you to notice the Bible says, and certain women, verse 2, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuzza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, These three women are given by name. They'd been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary Magdalene had seven devils, and Jesus had cast them out, and she had followed after him. Joanna, the wife of Chuzza, Herod's steward, and Susanna. Now, Susanna is this is the only place in the New Testament that her name is mentioned. We don't know anything about her other than she was with Jesus and she was serving Jesus. And that's about all you need to know about her. That's a pretty good testimony, isn't it? Jesus had healed her of some infirmity or some possession of devils, and she was with him, and she was ministering to him. That's a pretty good testimony. Amen. Well, how did she serve him? I don't know. She ministered to him with what she had, and she was with him. She was following him. Mary Magdalene had seven devils, and they had been cast out, and she had faithfully followed the Lord from that time. We hear about Mary Magdalene about as much as we hear about any woman in the New Testament. Now, there are lots of Marys. There's, of course, Mary, the mother of Jesus. There's Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' sister. And then there's this Mary, Mary Magdalene. But I want you to listen to a few verses very quickly. John 19:25. I want you to know that Mary Magdalene was, not only was she healed of that demon possession, and then we read about her here in Luke 8, and she was with Jesus, serving him in his ministry, and then we find her there at the foot of the cross. John 19:25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene was at the foot of the cross when Jesus died. Mark 15:46, and he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. Not only was she there with him in his ministry, not only was she there standing by the cross when he died, but she followed to see where Jesus' body would be laid. She followed him to the tomb. And we read in Mark 16, and when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. She was there at the cross, and she followed to the tomb. And 3 days after he had been in the tomb, they went early in the morning to anoint the body of Jesus. Mary Magdalene was there. In Mark chapter 16, verse 9, I want you to hear this. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Listen, Mary Magdalene, when Jesus saved her, she stayed with him. And she stayed with him all the way to the end. When, remember, the disciples, many of them were scattered and fled, Mary Magdalene was there. And when they took his body to be laid in the tomb, and the disciples, they weren't anywhere to be seen. They had given up hope. She followed to the tomb. And when it was time to go anoint his body, because they didn't get to do that properly, she wanted to be there. And her faithfulness to God to stay with him, to stay with Jesus, to stay with Jesus, to stay with Jesus was rewarded in this. When he rose again, he appeared first to her. Amen. What an incredible blessing. Amen. She went and told the others and they didn't believe. I want you to notice also there in Luke 24, verse 8, Luke's account of them coming there. They remembered his words and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. But did you get it? It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, the ones that were with him in his ministry, were there in the end. And their faithfulness is seen throughout their life. Now listen, it was a big deal for Jesus to have these women following him around. In Jesus' day, the women were not normally follow the rabbis around. They didn't normally, weren't taught by the rabbis directly. There was a lot of stuff. What Jesus was doing went against the culture. and went against what the rabbis of the day taught. But Jesus loved them, and he wanted them to know him, and he wanted them to know the gospel, and he wanted them to be a part of the kingdom, and he wanted them to help others become part of the kingdom. And Jesus ministered to those women by teaching and preaching them, and they ministered to him in whatever way that they could, and what a blessing. The 12 were with him, certain women, and the Bible just says, and many others. So we see the people. Now notice lastly tonight the provision. And we back in our text in Luke 8, verse 3, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. This word minister is, it's the same word we get deacon from. They were servants. They were serving God. They were ministering. They were working. They were giving. And primarily unto him of their substance. In other words, we know that Jesus Christ, he said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And Jesus depended on the kindness of others to provide him a place to sleep and food to eat and all those things. And listen, when Jesus was crucified, when he died on the cross, the soldiers gambled for his garment. That's all he had was the clothes that were on his back. Jesus had nothing in this life. And he depended on these disciples, and that's what they did. They loved him and they took care of him. Well, that's a biblical principle, that the Bible teacher would be taken care of those that were learned that learned from him. Galatians 6:6 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. What's that word communicate mean? It means to give. It means to provide for. And that's the way it worked. The rabbi depended on the people he taught to take care of him so that he could continue to study and to preach the word. It's a Bible principle we see even today. 1 Timothy 5:17 and 18. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and in doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. And these are Bible principles from the Old Testament that these disciples and these women and the many others that were with Jesus, they understood, and therefore they ministered to him of their substance. They were willing to give to the Lord. Now listen, they gave their money to buy food for Jesus. They gave their food for Jesus to eat. They gave what they had, but I want you to get it's not just about money. They gave of their time, they gave of their talents, and they gave of their treasures to the work of the Lord. And friends, this is a testimony for us. I'm going to tell you this. If you'll be with Jesus, if you'll walk with him, if you'll serve him, if you'll stay in his word and stay faithful in his church, he'll give you a heart to give to him. And it won't just be you want to write a check or put some dollar bills in the offering plate. No, you'll want to give money, but you'll want to give of your time to the Lord. And you'll want to give of your talents, your abilities to the Lord. Friends, when you were with Jesus, you want to serve him. You know what happens? When we give, when we minister to him of our substance, you know what we're doing? We're working with him to further his kingdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. Listen. For we are laborers together with God. You get that? These disciples were going with Jesus and they were ministering to Jesus. And in ministering to Jesus, they were working with Jesus for him to preach and to show glad tidings of the kingdom of God to all the villages and towns around. And friends, when we study the Bible and we pray faithfully and we walk with Jesus day by day and we're faithful in his church and we serve him through the church, we are working with God to further his kingdom. Now maybe that doesn't have an impact on your heart, but it does mine. To realize that what we do for him in this church and through this church, we are working with him for his kingdom. What a blessing. Amen. To be a part of that great work. This evening, we're going to get ready for an invitation. And I just simply want to ask you two questions tonight while we get ready for a song. Number one is, are you with him? You see, Jesus isn't physically in the world today, but he is with us in spirit. His Holy Spirit is at work today. His church is at work today. His churches are at work in the world today. And my question is, are you with him? Have you been born again? Are you part of his kingdom? Have you entered in by being born again? And if you have been saved, I mean, are you with him in your daily life? Are you walking with him in prayer and in Bible study and in service? Are you with him? And are you ministering to him? Who are we serving in our day-to-day life? You see, the truth is, I think most of us, if we examined our heart, we spend far more time serving ourselves than we ever do serving our Savior. Amen. And it ought not be so. We are here to serve him. Are you with him? Are you serving him? If the answer to either of those questions is no, then we need to repent. We need to get right with the Lord tonight while we stand together, while we sing. The Holy Spirit's calling you. You need to be with him. He's convicting your heart that you need to be serving him. Would you come?